Time to get a little knowledge, Craig. Fixing the education gap between rich and poor students. You know, how well a child learns usually is directly related to their economic status. So we're going to get some help from Robert Pondicio, who is with the Knowledge Matters campaign. Good morning, Robert.
Good morning. How are you?
We're doing okay. So talk to me about what is your passion or interest in educating students?
Oh, I don't think you have enough time for that conversation. I could bend your ear about that for the next several days. But one of the things that concerns me most as a teacher and an education policy guy is how good intended policies like, say, No Child Left Behind and the testing we have, which are wrong for all the right reasons. You know, that what we want to make sure that kids are being well taken care of in school. But those policies over the years have too often tended to, as we say now, the curriculum, to reading, math, and not a lot else. And the trouble with that, for very complicated reasons, is that when you don't give kids a very well-rounded education, not just in reading and math, but in science, history, art, and music and whatnot, one, it's a pretty boring education, and two, it kind of damages their reading ability.
There's something called Every Student Succeeds Act. There's always those little phrases related to do that. How does that relate to the No Child Left Behind, or is that the replacement?
It replaces it. Yeah, the No Child Left Behind is basically a rewritten version of a 50-year-old law that funds elementary and secondary education in America. So ESSA, the Every Student Succeeds Act, is the latest iteration of that. And I like this law, I have to say. It returns power to the states and localities, which is a good thing. But it doesn't solve this problem of making sure that schools and teachers and districts understand that, hey, the goal here is to really ensure that kids get a well-rounded education. If you want to close achievement gaps, if you want to solve a reading problem, you do it that way. I mean, it is paradoxical, of course. We think of reading like throwing a ball or riding a bike like a skill, but it's really not. It's really your ability to read with broad comprehension is almost like your general state of health. The more you know, the better reader you're going to be.
Robert, you give an example called the baseball study in which 12-year-olds are given a chapter to read about baseball, and then they take a quiz, and it turns out the students who performed best on the quiz were not the strongest readers. Instead, weaker readers with knowledge of baseball did best. How do you get the knowledge without the reading?
Yeah, well, it's a little bit of a chicken and egg, right? We I alluded to it before that we think of reading as a skill like riding a bike or throwing a ball. The ability to decode, you know, what you and I would call phonics, that certainly is a skill. I mean, I could put nonsense words in front of you that don't exist, and we would all agree on how to pronounce them because there's a code to English language. But that's reading. That's what reading experts would call decoding. That's a skill. What's not a skill is reading comprehension. The baseball study you alluded to demonstrates, and there's been lots of other studies that show the same thing, that your ability to read with understanding requires that you know at least a little bit about a subject, and sometimes a lot about a subject, in order to make sense of that. I mean, to give you one quick and easy example, if I say, Jose Ramirez hit into a 6-4-3 double play to end the game, you in Cleveland are going to know a lot of things about that the Indians lost, it was the ninth inning, it was one man out, a man on first base, etc. Somebody who's not a baseball fan or an Indians fan is not going to have any idea what I'm talking about right now. That's because that sentence assumes a certain amount of embedded knowledge about baseball. And languages like that, just about everything we see or read or say, has presumed knowledge that readers or that writers assume that readers know.
You're the director, executive director of the Knowledge Matters campaign. What is the Knowledge Matters campaign?
Yeah, it's as we're discussing, it's really just an awareness campaign to help parents and teachers, basically everybody who's concerned about education, understand that as well-intended as it might seem to say, hey, let's just focus on reading, that actually does damage on reading or to reading for very good reasons. Children will just benefit, they'll be more engaged, they'll become better readers if their education is broader, not narrower.
How do you explain something like Harry Potter? I'm looking at Harry Potter's the film's 15th anniversary, those based off of books, which kind of took, you know, the students, a certain age group, by storm. Is it because mm-hmm. you read the books and you come up with your own imagination of the concepts of what's going on?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and that's just a fantastic example of the magic of reading. You know, I mean, I think we do tend to fetishize. I mean, I wish I had a dime for a teacher who said, "Oh, I just want my children to love readers, to love reading." I tend to be the humorless guy who says, "Well, you know, nobody likes to do things they're not very good at. So if you want your children to love reading, you should make sure that they're better readers." My daughter loved Harry Potter. I love Harry Potter. Kids just, that's a slightly different example. When kids fall in love with characters and good writing, they tend to want to read, even if it's above their so-called reading level. So we could certainly use more Harry Potters, but more kids would be able to enjoy Harry Potter if they were better readers.
And again, let's talk a little bit about how do we get better readers. You talk about chicken and egg. We have to crack something here or figure out where do we want to start, especially for teachers listening or parents.
I don't want to oversimplify it, but I think the first thing we need to solve is to get past this idea that reading comprehension is a skill that you can practice and master in the abstract. You know, it sounds counterintuitive. But the best way to raise good readers is to make kids broadly curious about the world. When I was a teacher in the South Bronx, I was taught basically, if kids aren't engaged by what they're reading and writing about, if it isn't about them, they're not going to be interested. You know, that sounds, again, like very good, well-intended advice, but it tends to be limiting. I always counsel teachers and parents, focus your kids' attention on the world outside of the window, so to speak, not the contents of their own head. There was a guy named E.D. Hirsch, Jr., who was kind of my guru in this. He wrote a book that some of your listeners may remember 30 years ago called Cultural Literacy. This was that book that had 5,000 names and dates and ideas and whatnot that you know, every American should know. At the time, the book was kind of controversial because people said, hey, who is this guy Hirsch, you know, telling us what our kids should learn? But he was making a very good point about reading comprehension. This was not, you know, Hirsch coming down from the mountain with stone tablets saying, learn this stuff because I said so. He was making a technical point about reading, which is that reading comprehension, language proficiency, assumes shared knowledge between readers and writers. And when it doesn't exist, that's what the achievement gap is, the knowledge gap. That's what when you look at these, you know, reading scores that are headed in the toilet, frankly, in America for years, that's what's missing. It's this this idea that kids need to be broadly educated.
And broadly educated takes them away from kind of getting into certain fixed things related to test, learning towards a test, which is what some of these other plans that the government has put in place for schools to do.
I've been saying for years now that I have a complicated relationship with testing, and I sometimes ruefully joke that it's like Jefferson's comment about holding a wolf by the ears. We don't like it, but we can't let go. And what I mean by that is I'm not sure I want a world without tests, because if we don't have standardized tests, then we go back to, you know, ignoring, for example, the kinds of students that I teach, low-income kids of color. We just go back to assuming that they can't learn. You know, the data that comes from testing is how we know there's an achievement gap. It's how we keep score, so to speak, and monitor progress and hold schools accountable. So these are all very, very good things. But the downside is that it is, as I alluded to up top, it's encouraged schools and teachers and districts to really narrow the curriculum to just reading and math and not much else, and that's not helping kids either.
I guess also the only way to become a good reader is to read. It's you're just doing it, right?
Yeah, there's absolutely some logic to that, but it's a little bit limiting. I mean, what you just said. Would you agree that the best way to, you know, to go to the gym or the best way to be healthy is just go to the gym and work out your arm? You know, I like doing that, but it's not going to lead to overall health. So there's definite advantages to just reading for the sake of reading, and you know. For your Harry Potter example, I would never want to take that book out of the hands of a kid who loves reading Harry Potter. But it's just we have to be mindful as teachers, as parents, you know, as a society, that we have an obligation to broadly educate kids, not just have them have a steady diet of, just read anything and you'll be fine. It's not unlike what it was 20 years ago when we would, you know, you wouldn't put a kid in front of a computer now and say, look, isn't that great? He's learning. Well, you don't know what they're doing on the computer. Now we're savvier about that, and by the same token, it's certainly better that kids read than not read. But ideally, we want to have them read broadly, across the curriculum, not just the stuff that they're interested in. But we have an obligation as adults, I think, to make sure they're exposed to the world at large.
It's a Knowledge Matters campaign. If people want to find out more about what you've talked about today and maybe just get a little more insight into it, where's a good place to get the details?
Thank you. It is knowledgematterscampaign.org, or it's just maybe simpler to just Google us at Knowledge Matters Campaign.
Robert Pondicio, thank you for your time this morning. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.